I am the architect. I created the Matrix.
Shall we play a game?
Good morning, good morning. This is Bob Sherwood from Leawood, Kansas. Are you busy today? Are you thinking about Thanksgiving? Are you thinking about the kinds of food you're going to have? And of course, the main question that I get every Thanksgiving from someone is, would you recommend some wine to me? Well, today I have with me, direct from Pleasanton, California, an expert on wine. I'd like to introduce you all to Sydney Metz. Sydney?
Good morning.
Sydney says, good morning. Now, you can become an expert in almost anything through experience, through academic work, or through trial and error. Now, I'm pretty sure that Sydney has become an expert through trial experience and trial and error, drinking a lot of wine. So I'm going to start with Sydney. Sydney, Thanksgiving's coming up. Mm-hmm. What would you recommend to people for a wine for a big Thanksgiving dinner?
So there's a lot of options, of course. I always like to start with sparkling wine or a champagne because it's a holiday and it's a reason to celebrate, right?
Do you think champagne is a good fallback?
It is, I think. It goes well with everything everything. And any winery that you visit that has sparkling wine will tell you as much as well. You can go with a rosé, you can go with a Cremant, which will be sweeter, a little bit more of a dessert wine. You could do with a Brut, which will go with pretty much everything. There's varying prices. You can go with Chandon that has more of like a $15 bottle. You can do Schramsberg, which is probably like $35 to $40. Those are both Napa Valley wines that are sparkling wines because of the region they come from.
The Schramsberg wine, I remember because years ago I went with a good friend of mine up to Schramsberg because President Nixon said in the Wall Street Journal that he actually served the president of China Schramsberg champagne is what I call it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And we went and had a tour of all the Schramsberg place, but in those days you could buy Schramsberg for $6 a bottle, and then it became really popular. Now, help our listeners to kind of think about the difference between Napa wines and Sonoma wines. They're geographically different, but are the wines different?
They are, and a lot has to do with climate. Sonoma is a little bit closer to the coast and actually goes to the coast. So there you'll have better Pinots. So Russian River Pinots are always a good go-to. That's a really good Thanksgiving wine because they're very fruit forward, pair very well with turkey.
Now stop there for a second. Mm-hmm. So if I go to a winery, or a place to buy wine, mm-hmm. and I ask for wines from the Russian River, will they actually know that?
They should. They know what they're talking about. But that is a very heavy Pinot area. That's primarily what Sonoma is known for.
Sonoma is Pinot?
Mm-hmm. And Napa's more Cabs.
And how far are you from Napa and Sonoma from where you live in California?
About an hour from Napa, an hour and 20 from Sonoma.
Wow. And how often do you go up there?
I try to go there once a month.
Wow. All right.
But not always the case.
And are you, I know there's clubs in those areas you can join. Are you a member of any wine clubs there?
I'm a member of two. A member of Schramsberg and I'm a member of Del Dotto.
And what's the benefits for being a member?
So you get shipments. Schramsberg does them four times a year, And you get invited to special events. So sometimes you get special pricing and sales or free shipping, which ends up being a large benefit. Like one of Del Dotto's is that it's a $5 shipping no matter where you ship it to. So that's a pretty nice benefit.
Can you ship wine to me in Kansas City?
I can.
That's legal now to do that?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. So, jumping back to the wines for Thanksgiving. So, the turkey, I mean, a lot of my friends, basically it's red with meat and white with fish. So, with turkey, what kind of wine would you drink again, specifically?
I think it depends on what you prefer. There, our traditional white wine drinkers or red wine drinkers. If you were a white wine, I would stay with like a Sauvignon Blanc, something lighter, crisper, that'll bring out more like herb notes. You could do rosé, which goes really, really well with turkey, if you want, again, something lighter and cold. If you're doing red, I would say a Pinot, a Zin. You could do a Beaujolais Nouveau, which is a very festive wine from France.
Where does Beaujolais Nouveau come from?
Burgundy, France.
Burgundy, France, right? And what does that mean, Beaujolais Nouveau?
I don't think I know. Well, Nouveau is new, right?
Yeah, I think it means the newest wine, or the first cut of the season, right?
Oh, okay.
So I think in France, every time they have a new season of Beaujolais, they introduce the Beaujolais Nouveau, and that's basically the wine of that season. And people from France will come from a long ways away just to drink the first taste of Beaujolais Nouveau. Now, staying on Thanksgiving for a second, now you have a lot of things and foods that destroy the taste of wine on Thanksgiving. I mean, you've got, you know, green beans, and you've got sweet potatoes, and you've got a lot of gravies and things like that. So don't those foods all destroy the taste of good wines?
They shouldn't. They should accent them, really. If you go with the like lighter fruit forward, you're going to taste that in your, you know, it's going to mm-hmm. be a lighter pairing. Cabs are great, but that is a very heavy red for Thanksgiving. That's more of like a red wine, for me at least. Mm-hmm. That's a red wine drink.
See, what I'm thinking about is that when I used to drink wine more than I drink today, I used to always think about what I would drink it with. For mm-hmm. example,
yeah.
I like to eat pâté de campagne and then wash it down with red wine. They mm-hmm. go together. Now, if I took a bite of turkey, would I then wash that down with what? A Pinot or a Rosé?
I would do a Pinot, personally.
Pinot, right?
And that's what I brought for us to have for Thanksgiving.
Oh, great. So my wine expert just told me she bought Pinot for us. Now, what Pinot did you bring?
I brought a few different Pinots. I brought one from Sonoma, which is a Falia wine.
What is it?
A Falia. I'm pronouncing it wrong for sure. Sorry.
Can you?
And then I brought one from Del Dotto. That's a 2013 Pinot that should be very good. And that's a Russian River Sonoma Coast one.
Now, I don't want to get into how much money you paid for those wines, but how much money did you pay for those wines? Are those expensive wines for people to drink?
Well, the majority of wine drinkers are going to spend probably between $20 and $30 on a bottle of wine. And there are many, many, many options that fit in that range. You know, for those people who get wine hangovers, it's usually because you're spending it on wine that's not very expensive and has lots of tannins and additives and things in it. These, I honestly can't remember because I've had them for a while. Anything 2013, I bought probably 9 years, no, not obviously not 9 years ago, but a while ago, like 7 years ago.
Now, as a wine expert, Sydney, do you keep a collection of wines?
Mm-hmm.
And how many wines are in your collection?
Probably over 100.
100 bottles of
mm-hmm.
wine?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a lot for you? Or?
I mean, I think it's a good amount. We have a room dedicated to our wine.
You have a wine room dedicated to
it? Got my treadmill and my wine.
You have your treadmill, so you take a glass of wine and run a mile.
Yeah,
take another glass, run another mile.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. So are there any other collections of wines in that wine room?
My dad's is in there.
And how many bottles does he have?
Well, we've depleted his a little bit, but I would say that there's probably 40 to 50.
Wow. Okay. So you have 100 bottles of wine. Now, if I were a collector, would that be an average amount or a lot?
I think it probably depends on your pocketbook.
On your pocketbook, right? Now, going back to your other comment, so if I go to somebody's house for Thanksgiving
mm-hmm.
and the next day I have a hangover from wine, that I can be pretty sure they offered me cheap wine.
Not necessarily. Tannins have a lot to do with the hangovers, and a lot of people react differently to mm-hmm. them. Like, take my dad, like, he couldn't drink anything that had a lot of tannins in it.
Now, tell my listeners, what is this tannin thing? I hear it all the time.
I don't know that I can.
Does it come from the ground or something? Or?
No, it has to do with the actual grape itself. I believe it's in the skin.
Ah.
But that is, people definitely react differently to them. Cabs usually tend to have more tannins. Wine that has less tannins would be Italian wines have less tannins in them.
Hmm.
So people who are more reactive to tannins.
So if I went to I go to a wine store, Greg's Liquor in Olathe, and I say I want a wine with a low tannin.
Mm-hmm.
Would they know how to recommend that to me?
They should, yeah. I mean, a Pinot would be less tannins than a Cab. Anything made overseas, I believe, has less tannins as well.
Now, how has the wine changed, let's say, in the last 10 years? I mean, do we have more Cabs today, more whites? Has there been any major changes in the type of wines that people drink today versus, let's say, 10 years ago?
Maybe not drink, but as many people know, the Napa and Sonoma County and valleys have been greatly impacted by wildfires. So you're starting to see that come into play with the varietals they make from year to year. So like 2016 was a great year for wine. 2017 wasn't so great because there was fires. And so a lot of wine got either smoke damage or destroyed altogether. Mm-hmm. 2018 was a very good year. 2019 was good. 2020, they're already saying that was the year that was through Napa. So I have one of the wineries I belong to has already sent out an email saying they're going to have far less wine to produce just because that year a lot of it got destroyed either by smoke or by fire itself. So, wow. And then 2021, because of the drought, they're also going to have less wine because it's just not bearing as much fruit.
So if somebody's listening and they want to study wine, they don't want to buy a 400-page wine book, mm-hmm. is there any magazine they can buy or subscribe to that will, you know, rate wines and make recommendations to them?
There's definitely a few. What I would honestly suggest is start trying wines. Like, that's what my dad always taught me, was that you know,
think drinking is the best way?
Denise Yoshihara.
I think that trying it and trying to understand, you know, what you like. Everyone's taste buds are different, right? Some people like fish, some people don't. Some people like red wine, some people don't. And some people tend to like certain varietals over others, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I would say start trying more wines, because then you start to understand like what they pair with. You start to understand the flavor profiles of them. If you read about a wine and it says, oh, this has taste of tobacco and mm-hmm. cherry and smoke and all that, and you taste it, if you don't, you know, give it enough air, if it's not given enough time in the bottle, there's a lot of things that can play into that.
I got two good points on what you just said. First, rather than spend $1,000 drinking wine, is there a specific magazine you would recommend that you can think about?
I can. It is called, it's like the wine, there's one main one. Ooh, hang on. Sorry. It is Wine Spectator.
Wine Spectator. Okay, so I recommend, I remember the Wine Spectator myself. I haven't mm-hmm. looked at it in years, but my guess is that some wine stores will have copies of it.
Yes.
Or just Google it, because
they have it in grocery stores, I think.
As I recall, it rates different wines, like a 95 or 97, the different years, and also it tells you what price is. So the next thing I want to ask you about is the airing of the wine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some people say, oh, I've got to open my wine and I got to let it sit for 3 hours. Some people buy these apparatuses that you pour the wine through and it aerates the wine. Do we do anything different in aerating wine for Thanksgiving than we would normally?
Depends on the year. That usually predicates whether you need to aerate or not. If it's older, you definitely want to give it more time to breathe. It's been trapped in a bottle for, you know, like the 2013. That's right. Been in a bottle for a while.
So a 2013 Pinot that mm-hmm. you have from Delgado,
mm-hmm.
would we have that air for like an hour?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
And
I think that explains why people will say the more wine I drink, the better it tastes.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they're just...
And that could be too.
Okay, now we're almost through with this. And it's been very helpful having Sydney Metz with us. By the way, she's an executive with a large home builder in Pleasanton, California. Mm-hmm. They build, I guess, hundreds of homes a year, right?
We do.
And business is going well out there, despite what people say about people moving out of California. I just came from there and I can tell you it's not true. If they're moving, it's because they're selling their house for $3 million and moving to Phoenix and buying one for $600,000. But the point is, housing in California is still going up. That's not the purpose of this discussion, by the way. And if they weren't going up, it would be because people weren't leaving and they're not leaving fast enough to make the prices go down. Now, the last thing I want to ask Sydney about is if push comes to shove, you don't know which wine to get for Thanksgiving, what is a fallback wine that always tastes good on Thanksgiving?
I think a Pinot.
Pinot, right?
Yeah, Pinot Noir.
And what about a sparkling? What about a champagne?
I would go with a Schramsberg.
A Schramsberg.
Champagne, just so we can talk about the difference. A champagne means it comes from France.
Right.
And most champagne is relatively expensive. Sparkling wine is what is made.
So is Schramsberg a sparkling wine?
It is.
So now our recommended is a Pinot, and that's short for Pinot Noir?
Yes.
All right, okay. And then Schramsberg, which is a sparkling wine. And then if I were going to go to a pure champagne and spend more money, what would I buy?
I would go with either a Veuve or
a what? A
Veuve.
Veuve. Oh, mm-hmm. Veuve. How do you spell that? Do you know offhand?
V-E-U-V-E. And then C-L-I-Q-U-O-T.
Okay. Veuve Clicquot, right?
Or a Moët and Chandon.
Or else a what?
Moët and Chandon.
Moët and Chandon. Is that a champagne?
Mm-hmm.
Moët? M-O-E-T? Mm-hmm. And Chandon, right? Listen, Sydney, that's been great having you here today. I really enjoyed it. We're going to finish up now. And by the way, peeps, have a great Thanksgiving. And look forward to some more podcasts. I wanted to get this one done because Thanksgiving wine comes up every year. And what would Thanksgiving be without good wine? Oh, by the way, a couple quick notes on your, you know, what you're going to say. You go around the table and the family gets together and you're kind of looking for something to say. Well, the oldest thing to say, of course, is thank God for all your family and thank God I'm not a turkey. But there's also something that Johnny Carson used to say. Carson, I think, was from Iowa or Nebraska. I'm not sure, but he was a cynic. And what he said is that Thanksgiving is the day that you get around your family, enjoying all being together and having a great meal and talking with each other and telling past stories. And he said Friday is an even better day because that's when you thank God that Thanksgiving only comes once a year. So that's all for today from Bob Sherwood and Sydney Metz. Have a great day, and I'll see you next week. All right, bye-bye. I brought to you courtesy of